Welcome. It's good to see such smiling faces this morning. It's good to be back with you. Having been gone the last month in Chicago, I've learned a great deal, but truly missed each of you. So welcome. My name is Dave Clements. I am the intern minister, and I am joined by Elaine Brown today as a worship associate, Hal Walker and his music staff, and then Colleen Taylor, who is the assistant RE director, will be doing the time for all ages today. As we light our chalice today, let us remember that life is a gift for which we are grateful. We gather in community to celebrate the glories and the mysteries of this great gift.
It's not easy, but I admit it. I was a bit at a loss for words, which is a rare occurrence for me. Assignment bliss. Write a call to worship about finding and following your bliss. Bliss. Not an often used word in everyday conversation. What to do? I know. Bring it up in conversation over dinner at a UU service auction function. Last Saturday night's fondue soiree at the Osorio's home. Surely we can crowdsource bliss, and I'll have my inspiration. Not exactly the great conversation starter I thought and hoped it would be. But Shannon's comment resonated. She likened finding and following your bliss to the first bite of a much desired and loved food. Imagine excellent melted cheese or delectable chocolate, or for me, coffee ice cream. After the first bite, we continue to eat the item bite after bite to try and recreate the sensation of that first morsel. That makes sense for food, but what about non-oral satisfaction and non-gastronomic bliss? Where does bliss come from? Do we find bliss, or does bliss find us? As always, more questions than answers. Come, let us explore bliss and worship together.
The following are taken from some words from Doc Hammarskjöld. I am being driven forward unto an unknown land. The pass grows steeper, the air colder and sharper. A wind from my unknown goal stirs the strings of expectation. Still the question, shall I ever get there? There where life resounds, a clear, pure note in the silence. I invite you now to quiet yourself and spend a few moments in silence, setting aside everyday concerns and being open to that which you find there. Please join me in a spirit of prayer. O, thy gracious Holy Spirit, we come at this time with gratitude in our hearts for those who have gone before and those who are here, and ask a blessing upon those who are in need at this time, that their heart might be lifted up, that they might be blessed, and that this day they might take joy in knowing that they are loved by this blessed community. We thank thee as we gather together this day. In thy spirit, amen.
I I'd like to invite the congregation to relax. And to touch base with that part of yourself that is quiet. That part of yourself that is peace. Something other than your thoughts. Something deeper than that. That mysterious part of yourself that is just pure joy. Response if you wish.
Bliss is within me.
Bliss is in my heart.
Bliss is in my heart.
Bliss fills my consciousness.
Bliss fills my consciousness.
Sending me to Tom Chapin and this song, All My Life's a Circle.
All my life's a circle, sunrise and sundown. The moon rolls through the nighttime till the day breaks, comes around. All my life's a circle, but I can't tell you why. Seasons spinning round again, the years keep rolling by. Seems like I've been here before, I sure can't remember when. I got this funny feeling that we'll all get together again. There And no straight lines make up my life, and all my roads have bends. There's no clear-cut beginnings, and there's so far no dead ends. All my life's a circle, sunrise and sundown. The moon rolls through the nighttime till the daybreak comes around. All my life's a circle, but I can't tell you why. The season's spinning round again, the years keep rolling by. I found you a thousand times, I guess you've done the same. But then we lose each other, it's just like a children's game. But as I find you here again, a thought runs through my mind. Our love is like a circle, let's roll around one more time. All my life's a circle, sunrise and sundown. The moon rolls through the right time till the daybreak comes around. All my life's a circle, but I can't tell you why. The season's spinning round again, the years keep rolling by. Let's sing it one more time, everybody. All my life's a circle, sunrise and sun. The moon rolls through the nighttime till the daybreak comes around. My life's a circle, but I can't tell you why. The season's spinning round again, the years keep rolling by.
Back in the 1990s, I was working as a hospital dietitian in Oberlin, Ohio. One day a month, I volunteered my nutrition counseling services at the Lorain County Free Clinic in Lorain. It was there that the reality of food insecurity and hunger issues smacked my middle-classness right in the gut. How did counseling these immigrant Mexican and Puerto Rican people living in abject poverty about how to eat better to control their diabetes or blood pressure make any kind of sense at all if they had little or no food to eat? And so my ministry for food justice began. I became involved with the Second Harvest Food Bank of Lorain County, and I ran food drives for them at my employer, Allen Memorial Hospital. When I first began attending this church in April of 2001, I noticed something that made me curious. There was this wicker basket on the floor in a corner outside the sanctuary. It was this basket with this note attached from 15 years ago. I read it, and each Sunday, I would bring an item or two to put in the basket. A wonderful woman, a longtime congregant of this church named Esther Duncan, would empty the basket one Sunday per month, and she would deliver the food items to Kent Social Services right down on Water Street. To make a fairly long story much shorter, as time went on, Esther's role and mine evolved, and eventually she retired from the job, and I very happily inherited her mantle. I advertised rather assertively in print and verbally for donations. There was an elder gentleman in our congregation who told me one day that what I was doing or trying to do wasn't really making any difference at all. He explained to me that real change to affect hunger happens on a global level, and that I really ought to be working for and supporting the World Health Organization. He said that canned food donations, like the can of peas I was holding at that time, would solve nothing. I was surprised and a little disappointed. Before I answered, I thought carefully. And my reply to him was that for a person who is hungry now and has no peas, it just might make all the difference in the world to him. Several years ago, on a Sunday afternoon after second service, I was in the lower level closet next to the elevator, packing up bags of donations. The door had closed a little bit behind me, and I was in the closet, just me and some bags and some canned food. In what I can only describe as one of Maslow's peak experiences, and indeed a holy moment, a sense of clarity, a feeling of peace, joy, and completeness came over me. It was a feeling of, this is what I am meant to do. This is my mission, my calling, my purpose in life, my ministry, my happiness. This is my bliss. Was this the universe validating my small social action on behalf of my hungry human family? I don't know exactly. I'm not really sure what it was, but I do understand what it means. It means that this matters. It means until the end of my days, I am going to follow my bliss.
Thank you, Elaine. You know, when I was assigned this topic, how do you talk about, it's one thing to talk about bliss, and it's another thing to talk about finding your bliss and following your bliss. And so I turned to a noted mythologist, the writer Joseph Campbell. And in 1985, in an interview with Bill Moyer, he had quite a lengthy conversation. It was about 24 hours, and they took parts of that conversation and put it into six one-hour episodes on PBS, which actually became one of the most watched public television's series so far. But the point of them getting together was that Moyers then took the rest of it and put it into a book called The Power of the Myth. And in the jacket of the book, he quotes Campbell, who Moyers noted, Campbell saw as the greatest human transgression the sin of inadventure, of not being alert, not quite awake. And then he went on to say that Campbell's philosophy on life was follow your bliss. And so what we've been trying leading up to the sermon topic today is to kind of talk about following the bliss, and the songs and the thoughts have been around that. But if you go further on with what Campbell said, if you follow your bliss, you put yourself on a kind of a track that has been there all the while, waiting for you in the life that you ought to be living, in the one you are living, wherever you are. If you're following your bliss, you're enjoying this refreshment, this life within you all the time. So, you know, okay, follow your bliss. And I hear you thinking, well, you know, there's a lot in that words, but, you know, it's okay if you're going to follow your bliss, but I'm trying to determine what my bliss is. Any of you find yourself in that situation? A noted yoga teacher, Howard Van Es, shares the following story of an event that happened to him. He said, when I was in my early 20s, my mother invited me to join her for an evening yoga class that she was taking, and I only went because she promised that I could be go out to dinner afterwards with her. And I imagine that would be a kind of a half hour of stretching, and then after that, you know, we could go on to dinner. And so I joined her at the class, and thinking easy stretches would be a great way to work up a great appetite for dinner, we removed our shoes, laid out our mats, and I put mine next to hers. And the teacher came over, a very pleasant young woman, he said, and welcomed them and suggested that now that everybody was there, that they lowered the lights and they were going to begin. And she said, just let go of the cares of the day for the next 2 hours. Holy Toledo, 2 hours, 2 hours. You know, I hated PE and I'd never done any other physical activity for 2 hours. This would never do. 2 hours, I panicked. How to escape? I could excuse myself to the bathroom and wait it out there. Or maybe I could feign a stomach ache and take a taxi home. I was freaking out inside and the teacher's smiling eyes met mine and a fake smile smiled back. Panic turned into paralysis, and I froze. It took every ounce of willpower and a faint amount of respect and love for my mother to keep me from bolting out that door. I swallowed my panic and got ready to endure the torture. My fate sealed, I did my best to follow along. Luckily, I had some natural flexibility and was pleased to find that I could get into a few of the positions quite comfortably. Even some experienced students found some of those challenging. My being good at a sport, wow, now that was a feat, I thought. I did the yoga badly, but at least I did it. Eventually, I lost track of time, and somewhere along the way, I actually began to enjoy what I was doing. Then something miraculously occurred. While I was in a pose, I was startled by the thought, oh, this is why people get into this ridiculous pretzel positions. By the end of the class, I was hooked. My mother finished her 6-week course and went on never to that class again. For her, it was just a momentary fascination. But for me, it was the beginning of a 40-year love affair that continues to this day. I learned that yoga is more than exercise and certainly not a sport. I learned to breathe, to move with mindfulness, and maybe for the first time, to enjoy having a body. I've loved every bit of my yoga journey, yet if I had followed my bliss, I never would have found my way into that yoga studio. At the time, I would have much preferred to skip the yoga and simply meet my mom for dinner afterwards. And I would have missed out on one of the greatest joys of my life, end of quote. So I share that story with you to kind of get us thinking on what does it mean to follow your bliss? You know, it's a lot easier to begin with to tell you what bliss is not. So here's things that, according to me, and not that I'm an expert, but I'm the one that put this together, so bliss is not joy, you know. You have a sunny day at the beach, you have a perfect date, and party with close friends, and this is not bliss. This is an experience, a joy, elation. But after a while, that experience soon dies, and it's not sustainable. And bliss is not doing nothing. You know, wouldn't it be nice if we could just stop everything and for a moment and not do anything? But then after a while, you know, would begin to wonder, and if anyone here thinks that that's a good idea, maybe you ought to think about possibly taking a break or a vacation. Maybe something's trying to tell you something there, but if you think your bliss is doing nothing, then you'll soon discover you're not satisfied. And I quote from Gandhi, who said, "Indolence is delightful but distressing state. We must be doing something to be happy." So three, bliss is not doing whatever you want. You know, if you leave to your responsibilities and you know, don't adhere to them without a care in the world, that certainly sounds blissful, But it's not bliss. It's irresponsibility. And would you really be satisfied with yourself if you simply ignored all of your responsibilities? Bliss is not easy. Following your bliss is not always following the easy path. You can't simply set your attention, I'm going to do this, and then relax while the universe manifests it to you while you're sitting on your sofa. Following your bliss requires action and courage. And to map out a course of action and to follow it takes a tremendous amount of courage. The path is unknown and fraught with fear, and it takes strength of will to overcome that fear. And bliss is not painless. When you follow your bliss, you might think that suddenly life is like easy street, and you can just enjoy the days without hardship or sorrow. I wish that was the case, but it simply isn't. I quote John Lennon, who says, "Life is what happens to you while you're busy making other plans." Yes, life happens. It won't wait around for you while you're off following your bliss. You must persist through the challenge that it throws at you at the time. So those are all the things that bliss isn't. So what bliss is? Following your dreams, desires, your heart. It's that deep, fulfilling, sustainable driving need you have, the thing that is the true in you. Just as Elaine mentioned about her desire to get behind food justice. That's something that's deep within her. When you're following, you're powerful and empowered. I'm sure you could feel the power of Elaine as she spoke about her bliss. And you're focused, and the universe is waiting to help you. And when you follow your bliss, doors open that you wouldn't ever have thought would be there. So, when you think of people following your bliss, we don't need to go any further than right here in our own congregation. I think of Hal Walker. Here's someone who's following his bliss. His love of music, his talent, and his that he shares with us each Sunday so selfishly. Unselfishly. Might be selfishly in one way for him, but... But there's an example of someone who really enjoys what they're doing. And to him, music is bliss. And then I think of another person, and this I think of my father. My father lost his leg in World War II, and he could have easily given up and come home, as many of his disability friends did. But instead, he went back to school, formed a business, got married, and began to raise a family. And as a young man, he decided he wanted to give back. And so his bliss became the scouting program. And for the next 25 years, he donated his time and energy to scouting. And one particular day, while I was 17 years old, I was visiting my father in the hospital, and he was dying, and we knew it was only going to be a matter of time. And at the time, I didn't realize how significant this event was, but in walked in a young intern. And he asked my dad, he said, "Do you remember who I am?" And my dad said, "Well, of course, you're Jim Duffin." And he said, "And I also remember the Eagle Scout Service Project that I helped you with." And as this young man shared with my dad that because of that project and because of the help of my father, it got him interested in science and in medicine and caused him to want to go into medicine and become a doctor. And into research. So I share those two examples with you that there are people around us who have got this thing as far as unfollowing our bliss. But how can we find our bliss and how can we follow it? So one of the first things is be open. Be open to new opportunities. How many times do we shut ourselves out because we say, "Oh, we can't do that," or "I would never be good at that"? I have a really good friend who is talented in practically everything, and I told him, I said, if you just sat down one day, you could probably paint. And he said, "Well, I could never paint." And so I took him up to the task and got everything ready for him. He sat down, and I said, "It doesn't matter what you paint. Just let the colors and the paint speak to you. And here was this man who I'd known for many years begin to paint. Now, did he paint a Picasso? No. But what he painted was something that came out within him. And to this day, he uses paint as a means to kind of calm his spirit. And he just sold his first painting about 3 weeks ago. So be curious. You know, if there's something people enjoy, you know, if you see something that people enjoy doing, go up and ask them, well, why do you enjoy that? Tell me about that. And then be willing, you know. Sometimes we think, well, I don't know what to do, and I don't want to try this. And we think that if we try it, and after a half an hour, oh, you know, we're supposed to just have a love for it. I go back to the story of the yoga. I mean, it took him 2 hours to actually get a love for yoga. So if you find something that you might want to look at, then give us some time. Try it out. Do it over and over again. And then be proactive. Develop a mindset that's focused on finding and following your bliss. In other words, step outside your comfort zone. And be surprised. You know, you might come to find something that you never ever expected is there. And then trust your life and trust yourself. Trust that inner spirit within each of us that directs you, that guides you. And take the time to listen to it. And so, each of you, when you came in, within the program, there was a card. And because, you know, I could talk about bliss, and you could go and say, oh, that was a great story, blah, 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 blah. But if we're going to follow our bliss, it really requires action. And so what I want you to do, you're going to do three things on this card. And the first thing you're going to do is write down something you've always wanted to do. Now, most likely, you don't overthink this, because the first thing that pops into your mind is probably that thing that you've always wanted to do. So take a few minutes and write down something that you've always wanted to do. Maybe it might be you want to go traveling, or you might want to write a book. Or you might want to be a worship associate. Or you might want to go into seminary. I don't know, but something. Write down something that you've always wanted to do. And then when you get that written down, write down one thing that's keeping you from doing that. It might be money, it might be time, it might be a variety of things. But I want you to think about what that one thing is that keeps you from doing that. And the third thing, and this is by far probably the most important, write down something that you will do this week regarding what you wrote down in number one. So three things on that card. Something you've always wanted to do. Something that's keeping you from doing that. And something you'll do this week. Take this card home with you. Put it someplace where you'll see it all week long. That'll remind you what you've written, what you've heard, and what you've learned this day. We all want to feel as if our life matters, and we all want to make a difference. And in closing, I'm reminded of the following story. A man was walking along the seashore, and in the far distance, he kept seeing someone stopping and picking up and throwing something back in. And as the closer he got, he kept seeing this man, and he noticed that what he was picking up was a starfish. And it had been high tide, and all over the beach were these starfish. And the man said, "What are you doing?" And he said, "I'm trying to save them." And he said, "You can't possibly save all of these starfish. There's too many. And probably all over the world there's beaches where similar starfishes are on them and no one's there saving them. Can't you see that your simple can't make a difference? But the lad replied, maybe I can't make a difference to all of these, but I'm making a difference to the one that I just threw back in. So may each of you begin to find your bliss, follow it, and make a difference. May it be so. Be lamps unto yourselves. Be your own confidence. Hold to the truth within yourselves as to the only lamp.